You walk into a room full of anxious people. You haven't said a word. Within minutes, your chest tightens, your thoughts race, and you feel a low-grade dread you cannot explain. That is not sensitivity. That is not weakness. That is your nervous system doing exactly what it was built to do. Research distinguishes at least four separate components of empathy: emotional or affective empathy, cognitive perspective taking, empathic concern, and emotional contagion. That last one is the silent culprit. Emotional contagion happens when you begin to experience another person's emotional state as if it were your own, with insufficient separation between self and other. It is a biological reflex, life, not a personality flaw. Now, here is where the science gets genuinely surprising. Studies have found that empathy and compassion can show opposite relationships with burnout. In one body of research, higher empathy was associated with higher symptoms of burnout, depression, anxiety, and anger. Higher compassion, by contrast, was associated with lower levels of those same symptoms. Read that again. Caring more does not protect you. Caring in the right way does. The distinction matters enormously. Empathic concern involves warmth and genuine care for another person's suffering. Emotional contagion involves absorbing that suffering as if it belongs to you. One keeps you functional, the other quietly dismantles you. And the relationship between empathy and burnout shifts depending on which component of empathy you are actually using. Think of it this way. A lifeguard does not drown alongside the swimmer to prove they care. They stay on solid ground precisely so they can pull someone out. That is the model. Emotional contagion pulls you into the water. Perspective taking and compassionate action keep you on the shore. Cognitive perspective taking is the ability to understand another person's viewpoint without necessarily experiencing the same emotion. That psychological distance is not coldness, it is a tool. Research confirms that emotional contagion can reduce your ability to respond constructively because your attention gets captured by the other person's distress rather than directed toward useful action. Empathic concern, on the other hand, can support genuine communicative responsiveness. The key idea is this: you can care deeply and still remain regulated. Those two things are not in conflict. So what do you actually do with this, life? There is a practical operational sequence worth memorizing. First, notice the emotion arising in your body. Second, name whose emotion it actually is. Say it internally. This distress belongs to them. I am witnessing it. Third, regulate your own nervous system before you respond. Slow your breath. Feel your feet on the floor. Fourth, identify what help is genuinely possible. Fifth, act within that limit. A useful label to practice is this: I notice that you are distressed is categorically different from I am distressed in exactly the same way. Separating observation from absorption is the 5-minute filter. You stay present for someone's pain without importing it wholesale into your own body. And remember, caring about someone's suffering does not mean you are solely responsible for removing it. That distinction alone can change everything. Research also points to self-compassion as a critical protective resource. A 4-year longitudinal study of university students found that increases in stress were associated with increased resilience only when they occurred together with increases in self-compassion. Stress alone did not build resilience. Self-compassion alone did not either. Both together did. That means how you treat yourself during hard emotional moments is not a luxury. It is the mechanism. The takeaway from everything here is precise, and it is worth holding on to. Emotional exhaustion is rarely the result of caring too much. It is almost always the result of emotional contagion operating without a containment strategy. Your open heart is not the problem. The absence of a boundary between your emotional state and someone else's is. Protecting your heart and soul does not require becoming indifferent. It requires a clear-eyed distinction between understanding, caring, emotional resonance, and responsibility. The goal is not emotional numbness. It is maintaining enough connection to respond with care while retaining the capacity to think, choose, and recover. When empathic engagement repeatedly produces overwhelm or exhaustion, The research-backed move is to shift from emotional mirroring toward perspective-taking and compassionate action. That shift is not a retreat. It is the most powerful thing you can do for yourself and for everyone who needs you to still be standing.